Welcome again to Grace Believers Bible Study. And I'd like for you to turn over to Acts chapter 8. We're just continuing in a service. Just to bring you up real quick. In Acts chapter 7, verse 58, it says, "And cast him out of the city," that's Stephen, "and stoned him," that's the Jews at the Sanhedrin, "and the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul." So, Stephen was preaching a murder indictment as Peter did back in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. And this time, they couldn't stand it any longer. They cast off their clothes. They just said, this man should be died. So they stoned Stephen. But the essence in verse 58, it was at a young man's feet. The Bible says a young man. So we know Paul was young here. He'd been studying under the feet of Gamaliel. Now, in chapter 8, verse 1, "And Saul," that's who we were just referencing, "was consenting unto his death," that's Stephen, "and there was a great persecution against the church," which was at Jerusalem at this time, and I'm going to paraphrase this, "and they were all scattered." Who was all scattered? All the disciples, everybody except the apostles. They were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, and the Bible says, except the apostles. And we've been talking about this, and then it goes down in verse 5, it says, "Then Philip," this is not the apostle that was mentioned in Acts chapter 10. This is the evangelist, Philip, that was in Acts chapter 6, verse 5, who was one of the seven men appointed by the disciples to oversee the widows and their needs. Because Peter told the disciples, "I'm going to let you make the decision." So they chose seven men, and Stephen was the first one. Now Stephen is dead. He's been stoned to death. So if you look back, you don't go there right now, but if you look back at Acts chapter 6, verse 5, you're going to see the second person's name, and they usually rank them in their importance of what's going on at the time. It's Philip. He's an evangelist. He is a Grecian. He is a Jew, but he speaks Greek, and he's after the customs of the Greeks. So that's what I wanted you to see. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, because he went to Samaria, okay? The Holy Spirit led him to go to Samaria, but they gave heed. They listened to Philip, and they saw him hearing and seeing miracles, which he did. He did those things. The Bible just said that. But verse 9, "There was a certain man called Simon." This is not Simon Peter. No. This is a different Simon. Spell the same. "There was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery." This is in Samaria, the city of Samaria. "And bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out, I'm just going to paraphrase this, saying that I'm great." He portrayed himself as being great, and they believed it, because in verse 10, they thought, this man is the great power of God. But, in verse 11, "And to him that they had regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries." He was a magician. He could do some things. Verse 12, "But when they believed," and it didn't take long for those people in Samaria to believe what Philip was preaching to be the truth. You know, those people in Jerusalem rejected Jesus Christ. But Philip, the Samaritans over there, they readily accepted it above and beyond their sorcerer there. Now, I want you to see verse 12. "But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God," and look here, "the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women." Well, see, we're not going to be saved in the name of Jesus Christ. We're saved by his death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for our justification on the third day. But the fact of it is, they just had to believe in the name of Jesus, and they were baptized. And that's absolutely in water here now. Okay? But there's some stuff that I didn't cover. I'm just trying to bring y'all guys up so we can progress. "Then Simon himself," that's the sorcerer, "believed also." I want you to take heed. This man believed. Just like a lot of people in these churches out here every day. They believe, they give it head knowledge, okay? "And when he was baptized along with them. He continued with Philip, and he wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done." He saw all these miracles. He saw all these signs that was being done. "Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had to receive the word of God," they sent Peter and they sent John, okay? Now, but watch this in verse 16. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, talking about the Holy Ghost. Only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, then laid they, and who is that? As Peter and as John laid their hands on those people that had already been baptized, and they, the people there in Samaria, received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the hands, apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, look what he did. He offered them money. Typical person. He offered them money. And he's saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. Do you think he did that with a true heart? No, he had an idea. He was a sorcerer. He was a magician. He couldn't do this, but he couldn't lay hands on people, and he couldn't perform miracles like this, but he wanted it. He offered money for it. Can you imagine? That's what he thought. He believed, but he didn't trust. Then Peter said unto him in verse 20, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. There is nothing that can purchase the gift of God except the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that can save you. But watch in verse 21. Thou hast neither. This is what Peter is telling Simon. I got that mixed up. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter. You're not a part of this. For thy heart is not right. See, he'd been believed. That shows you your heart is not right when you just believe. It's not right in the sight of God. Now here's what Peter told Simon. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. Repent and pray. That's what Peter told him. For I, Peter, is saying this, I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness, and in the bond of iniquity. He was under the bondage of Satan, the iniquity of sinfulness. Now this is what Simon said. He told Peter and John. Peter done told him repent and pray, but now he's turning it around and says, pray you to the Lord for me. You guys have got all of this power and healing and miracles. Will you pray? You've got a closer walk than I got, that none of these things which you have spoken come upon me. And when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, this is Peter and John, when they had preached and testified the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem. But on their way back from Samaria, they preached the gospel of what? The gospel of the kingdom of heaven in many villages of the Samaritans. Now in verse 26, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip. Well, my gosh, the angel of the Lord, we're still under prophecy there. Saying, arise, Philip, go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Did you know Philip has been in Samaria? He's been supposedly getting people saved. Supposedly. Remember, their faith is on trial. They don't have salvation. They do not have an atonement yet. And they won't until Zechariah 13, the second coming. But all of a sudden, the angel of the Lord comes up to Philip and says, arise and go toward the south. Ain't nobody out there. It's a desert. Can you imagine? It's like Billy Graham said, the Lord coming to Billy Graham and saying, Billy, I want you to go down here to Death Valley, California. Ain't nobody there, but I want you to wander down through the desert there. I'm telling you what to do. And Billy saying, huh? I preach to millions of people on television, and I preach to all these cities in Baltimore and Atlanta. You want me to go down where there ain't nobody to preach? That's what the angel of the Lord told Philip. But you know what he said? How about going over to Acts chapter 26? Hold on to your place. Acts chapter 26, 19. Let's see what happened to Paul when Paul was said to that. Just a couple of side scriptures here. 26, 19. Paul was talking to King Agrippa here, and he said, he was talking about what happened to him in Acts chapter 9 on the road to Damascus, and he said, Luke writes about Paul, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. And Philip was not disobedient to the heavenly vision of the angel of the Lord. Go over to Hebrews chapter 11, just to show you another. You've got certain people, when they're called, they don't question the Lord. If you're called in here to do something, do you question it? So, well, I don't have enough money. I just can't do it. I don't have enough faith. I don't believe it's going to happen to me. Oh, ye of little faith. Okay, go over to Hebrews 11:8. Here's something else. We just saw where Paul was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. In verse 8, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive, for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whether he went. And exactly what Philip did. Didn't question the Lord, didn't question the angel of the Lord. He just went out and did it. He was a big star over there in Samaria. Right now, he's a loner by himself. Now, let's continue here. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. I can just see this happening. And he rose up and went. That's the thing. He rose up and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia. Right now, we know the descendants of Ham went to Ethiopia. That's a black area. We know none of Paul's epistles ever go to Ethiopia. No. And an eunuch, one that's been emasculated, probably with having his sexual organs detached for various reasons, they were looked upon very favorable there. An eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, just like Pharaoh of Egypt. A lot of these were called the Candace of the Ethiopians. They were queens. There were quite a few of them as they come. But this one is Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, and he didn't say which one, just said Candace, who had the charge of all her treasures. This eunuch was a great fellow for her. He was in charge of her lady servants, should I say, because he wasn't going to mess with them. You know, he was a eunuch. So, and her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. Why was he in Jerusalem? Because this old boy right here, he went over there at Pentecost, and he had to go because he believed. He was into Judaism at the time, or he went to Pentecost to study. And to be there at that great feast day, all the Jews had to go there at Pentecost. Now, verse 28, he was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. That's what he was doing. He was sitting in his chariot, he was reading about what Isaiah wrote. The prophet wrote, then the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to his chariot. And Philip ran thither, ran up to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, basically, I'm going to paraphrase this, hey, eunuch, do you understand what you're reading in Isaiah? And you know what? Humility took place here. The eunuch humbled himself, and he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? You know, how many times do you not understand something and you just too proud to ask somebody? Ask your wife, ask your husband, ask somebody. It don't mean you're giving in to them, that you're under the authority of them. The fact of it is, how Jesus Christ in Philippians, he humbled himself as a servant for you. Humility, humbleness. And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him in that chariot, see? Now, in verse 32, the place of the scripture which he read was this. This is what the eunuch read. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter. Now, we got this now. We know that's Jesus Christ. And like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, that's Jesus' humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. How about going over to Isaiah 50? Hold on to your place. Isaiah 53. Let's go to verse 7. Isaiah didn't even know who he was writing about here. People were questioning it. Oh, was he writing about himself? Was he rewriting about someone else? Isaiah didn't even know who he was writing about. In Isaiah 53, verse 7, he was oppressed, Jesus Christ, and he was afflicted, Jesus Christ, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. Didn't say a word, did he? Didn't try to get out of it. As a sheep before her shearers, is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. He was crucified for you. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. Now, let's keep on reading here. Verse 35 of Acts chapter 8. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture that the eunuch was reading and preached unto him Jesus. Well, do you know what? This is the first time that I know this happened. When did Peter and Philip and all of them find out about Isaiah 53? Now, we know it's the death, burial, and resurrection for our, you know, for our justification to pay for our sins. But it wasn't for theirs at that point. But somebody had to let them know. How about going to Luke chapter 24? Verse 27. Hold on to that. Luke 24. Verse 27. I want to show you what Christ revealed to these people back in Luke after his resurrection. Verse 27. And beginning in Moses and all the prophets, that's inclusive of all the prophets, he, that's Jesus Christ, expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Right there, Jesus Christ told them about Isaiah 53. Right there. Ain't that something? But he didn't tell them that he was dying for their sins. But he did say a lot of good stuff. How about going over to Acts chapter 2, verse 30? Acts chapter 2, verse 30. Well, I want to start in verse 27. He says, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. So we know that the soul of Jesus Christ was not going to be left in hell, and he wasn't going to see any corruption. But watch. Verse 30. Therefore, being a prophet, back in verse 29, it's talking about David, who was a prophet and a king. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. Do you know Jesus Christ told them that? To sit on his throne. Yes, he did. And back in, you don't have to go there, but back in Luke chapter 1, verse 32, he said, he was talking to Mary there, and he said, his name is going to be called Jesus, and he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Throne of his father David. How about going back over to verse 36 now, of Acts chapter 8? Verse 36, my fault. And as of Acts chapter 8, and as they went on their way, they went together, the eunuch and Philip. Remember, Philip doesn't have an entourage. He doesn't have anybody with him. They come into a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Now, we're talking about baptism in the water. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, not like Simon, because he didn't believe with his heart. He believed with his head. It was head knowledge he believed in. And he was baptized in water. Didn't do him any good. But now Philip's talking to this eunuch, if thou believest with all thine heart, and he emphasizes all thine heart, thou mayest what? Be baptized. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Could he be saved in our dispensation?
No, not the gospel.
Not in the gospel. It was the gospel to them, but not to us. I tell you what. And you don't have to go there, but in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, if thou shalt believe with all thine heart, with all thine heart, that's what Paul told the Romans. In verse 10 of Romans chapter 10, it says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. It's the heart. It's not with the head. Not head knowledge. You can be a brilliant PhD, have three or four of them, and bust hell wide open unless you trust with your heart. Let's go ahead and read this. Verse 38. And he, that's Philip, commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Philip baptized that eunuch. But you know, there's so much controversy about this, there shouldn't be any. You know, people want to know, well, how deep was the water? Was it running water? Was it standing water? Did he reach with his hand and pour it over his head? Did he take him and completely immerse him in the water? It don't matter. In this dispensation, it has not one thing to do with us. So why trouble your mind on trying to figure out what type of baptism? We know it's water. It said it's water. Why try to figure out what type it is? It don't matter. The man was baptized. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. Whoa. But the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Well, who went on his way rejoicing? The eunuch did. He was happy. His faith is on trial, but he's done everything that the Lord told him to do to be saved. He had to endure to the end now, and he will have salvation. And it will come, as in Acts chapter 3, 19, 20, and 21, and in Zechariah 13, 1. At the second coming, it's going to happen if he endured to the end, unlike Sapphira and Ananias, which lost theirs. But the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. Whoa. Can you imagine that? Bob's sitting here right now, and all of a sudden, he's gone. Well, I'll pick him up in Panama. I'll see him next in Panama City, but he didn't ride in a car down there. You believe the Lord did those things? I do. I do.
Says he did.
That's right. You have to understand it. No. You just believe it. Did you have to understand that God had a plan for you before the foundation of the world was ever? Before the foundation of the world. He had a plan for Candy, me, and all of us. We didn't have to understand that plan. We just had to trust that his son died for us. That's it. It is so simple. And man, when I hate to see a preacher get up there and talk for hours and not tell you the gospel. As in right now, up in, and I mentioned this in here the other day, in Og, a buddy of mine is going to this, it's called Westview Baptist Church. Their pastor started a series, and I don't have a problem with series because I do them. But he's doing a series on the gospel. So the first 3 weeks, I ask my buddy, every week, I have an update every Tuesday night. Did he preach the gospel? Well, no, that's what this is about. I said, well, did he tell you what it was? No, but if he did, nobody would come back for 9 weeks. It was 8 weeks. But it's moved to 9 now because they had a guest speaker come in. So for 9 weeks, nobody's going to hear the gospel in that church. If you've got somebody that's lost or somebody that visits one time, they're never going to hear the gospel. So that's 3 weeks, and then a visiting pastor's in there teaching something. But he didn't preach the gospel, my friend said. So that's 4 weeks. Nobody's heard the gospel in that service in a Baptist church up there. Something's wrong with the picture, don't you think? If you do nothing else, if everything else is wrong, if everything I've failed to communicate to you, you've got to preach the gospel. The simplicity of the gospel. You know, that's how people get saved. They don't get saved by knowing about this eunuch. They don't get saved to knowing that the Spirit removed Philip and took him somewhere. These are things of the Lord, and He put them in a book for us to know and to learn and to trust. It's for our knowledge. It's for our learning and admonition. But it has not one thing to do with my salvation or yours. It's there. So whenever we get in conversations and we have communion with other fellow believers, we can talk about certain things in the Bible and say, amen, yes, that's true. I remember reading those things. It's the glory of God. He gets the glory, not us. But, and when they were come out of the water, the Spirit, right then, didn't say they beat around the bush with it. The Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, of the Lord caught away Philip. Now, I'm telling you, if I was the eunuch standing there and whew, he's gone. Can you see why he went on his way rejoicing? He knew God was with Philip. He interpreted Isaiah 53 properly. He told him the Lord was speaking through Philip. And that eunuch knew it. Now, tradition has it, I don't like tradition, but tradition has it that that eunuch went on back to Ethiopia. And that was the beginning of, quote, I hate to use this word, I don't like using it very often, this one. But Christianity, as the world knows it, I'll just say it like that, started in Ethiopia for that point. Because you can see, Paul never did go to Ethiopia, ever. And if he did, it wasn't important because it's not in the Scriptures. Peter didn't go. The apostles didn't go. This evangelist, by being misplaced, and I'll say that, as he really wasn't misplaced, but he was misplaced from what he was doing, called by the Holy Spirit, went. And he didn't gripe, complain like we do, like the preacher won't shut up, let's get out of here to go to lunch. Why can't we do that? No. That's the whole point. Nobody griped and complained. I don't see any car keys jingling yet, but it may. But the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Praise the Lord. But Philip was found at, instead of Panama City, like I said, Azotus, I'll just say that. I may be wrong in the pronunciation. Verse 40. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. And you know, that stopped Philip right there. You don't care about Philip no more. That's what Philip was called for. Philip had a big job. And his job was to go and talk to those people that was in verse 1 that was scattered. All of them were scattered now. Not one of them left except the apostles. So get that in your mind. You've got 12 leaders, are 12 apostles chosen by Christ himself. Now this is after Matthias has been replacing Judas. There's 12 of these that took their life in their own hands, and some people say, well, you know, they were cowards. They wouldn't leave and go do the Lord's work because they look at the Great Commission, and we've got a greater. They look at the Great Commission and says, start in Judea, and then, start in Jerusalem, go to Judea, and then go to Samaria. And they think, there's people out here preaching that the apostles disobeyed the Heavenly Father by not going and leaving Jerusalem. But see, they had already preached in Jerusalem. And the Jews had rejected Jesus Christ. They had rejected their Messiah. They had rejected the King that was going to set up His millennial reign. But they stayed. Actually, they were doing more and above and beyond the call of what a human would think, but they were doing exactly what the Lord wanted them to do. They stayed there. And so they took that evangelist, Philip, and went over there to preach to them in Samaria. Now, there's something about the Samaritans, and we're not going to go into depth on it, but the Jews, they were Jews, but they're half-breed Jews. The Jews looked down on them more than they did the Gentiles. Because whenever Israel went in captivity, there's a king that sent them back. And they intermingled and intermarried, and the Jews were not supposed to intermarry with a Gentile. No, but they did. So the Jews, the kosher Jews, looked down on the Samaritans. But Peter and them went over there, and they laid their hands on them after they had been baptized. And what now I'm going to do next week, I'm going to start in, and I'm really going to enjoy this because we've never done it like this, but we've done it. I'm going to start in on Acts chapter 9 with Apostle Paul. He's still named Saul, but we're going to see what's happening with him, and we'll probably wind this series up around Acts, at the end of Acts chapter 11.